What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 122 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
I don't know. It's easy, and then it isn't. I don't know. I was talking for a whole while, and there was no tongue tied, nothing. And then I'm like, hit play, and then it just falls out of my mouth and rolls down the street. Whatever. We are here for another episode of the Gamecast, episode 122, which is. It's cool that we're at 122. Like, most people don't make it past episode 75 of whatever they're doing, right? So to have a podcast go this long is really cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
What that means is there's some value here. Like, there's some information that you're going to want to hear. There's some comedy, some humor. There's a lot of good stuff. I'm just saying, if you want to sub to the YouTube channel, you should do so. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Hit the button and the notification. I know we're doing this early, but I'm just saying. 122. We've been around. We do this. But yeah, I'm not going to hold you too much outside of saying, just to catch up, I did get to see Wonder Man. That's a big deal. One, it's February, Black History Month, so duh. But then also, there's a whole lot of talk on the internet about how Wonder Man didn't get a lot of marketing. And I've already talked about that and proven how that's not the case, from billboards to, you know, park benches to everything. But then also the show turned out to be really great. It's one of the best Marvel shows on Disney Plus. And we're going to have a spoiler cast. I don't know if it's going to be me and Dre, because I know Dre was like really, really excited about it, or if it's going to be me and Tess. Regardless, we're going to have a spoiler cast similar to what we did with Insecure, because the show is that worth. It's just a good show. It's worth talking about. So stay tuned for that. But beyond that, I've been also catching up with anime and stuff like that. And that actually brings us to our first topic, which is the new trailer for the Ghost of the Shell anime. That's coming to, I want to say, Netflix this year. And one of the things about the trailer, other than the fact that it looks cool, is, and, you know, getting more information about it, is that this is a new series. It's not a sequel series to the older Ghost in the Shell anime film or anime series. And it's taking a portion of the way the Ghost in the Shell media works is they take a year or like a couple of years, and they tell a story from that time period. And the original Ghost in the Shell film did that. So did the show, where it'll be like it happened between 2030 and 2035, or, you know, something happened along those lines, and the characters go about their, you know, go about their lives, and we kind of get a snippet of it. And the thing is, a lot of it was like based on the manga, but it didn't really follow it. Whereas I think this particular anime is going to be a little bit closer to the manga in terms of its storytelling and whatnot. And I think that's interesting that the creators behind this are doing it, because we've seen this a lot with, like, you know, the new Trigun series that we talked about a few years ago, with if you've seen Full Alchemist Brotherhood, how that was like much closer to the anime than, I'm sorry, to the manga than the previous anime. We've seen this a lot where they're like, we're going to do this again. We're going to do it. Now, I don't want to say right, because that would make it seem like the other ones were poor, but we're going to do it in a way that's adheres a little bit closer to the original source. Or we're going to do something that is like in Trigun, where in some instances they follow the manga and some instances they don't. And that's, you know, for anybody who's following the new Trigun series, there's the second series of that new version is coming out pretty soon as well. I thought that it was interesting because of all the anime to tackle right now, I didn't expect Ghost in the Shell. The legacy anime usually is one of the ones you don't touch a whole lot, and especially one that is as popular as Ghost in the Shell. And maybe that's a reason to make a new one, right? Because people are gonna go see it whether it's good or bad. But it's kind of the ones where you're like, you don't want to touch. I understand, like, Bleach. I understand Trigun, even. I understand, because those are more, like, Bleach is really big, and it never finished. So there's that. And so that's a continuation. Trigun, I want to say it's more cultish, like a cult following, than, like, a huge, like, phenomenon comparatively to Ghost in the Shell. I could be wrong there. But I know Ghost in the Shell got I mean, I don't think Trigun has a live action film, right?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and if it does, it wasn't released here.
Facts. And, you know, and that could be a good thing, depending on how you feel about the live action Ghost in the Shell film. But it just seems like a bigger thing. And so, you know, we're also seeing the Dragon Ball Super being redone. We're seeing just a lot of like stepping backwards as opposed to forwards. And so I'm interested in how people feel about it, because similarly to our conversations with the previous podcast with He-Man, it's like, who is this for? Anime is a little bit different because it's very easy to kind of keep up with it. Like, if you haven't seen the original He-Man show, you're probably not gonna. I don't think there's any place you can watch it right now, legally, anyways. Crunchyroll has Ghost in the Shell.
We're all about legal stuff.
Right. you know what I'm saying? And so it's a little bit easier to keep up with anime versus old like Western cartoons and stuff like that, because there's, you know, they don't have that. There's no avenue for that outside of like Adult Swim and, you know, Cartoon Network and stuff like that. And even that stuff has been removed from certain places. So I get that. But then I'm like, are a lot of people checking for Ghost in the Shell stuff right now? Is that a, you know, maybe I'm looking at it from the wrong perspective. It's just, when I saw the announcement, I was like, why? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, oh, I'm curious. And because I'm me, I'm going to go see it. Like, I'm going to check it out because I'm me. Yeah. But not everybody's me. You know, like, you're not, people aren't always interested in the stuff I'm interested in. So I'm just kind of, I'm curious. Like, if I'm going to go backwards. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't touch this one. Like, there's just so many reasons why this could be a bad idea in terms of, you know, not hitting the bar that was already set by the other Ghost in the Shell anime. It could be the fact that if you are saying that you're going to adhere to the manga and you don't do that, that's a whole nother can of worms. You also have some stiff competition with the stuff that was redone. Like, for instance, Netflix, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, they released Pluto, and that is the Atom Boy, the part of the story where he is actually kind of dark for that particular anime, but they released that, and that was amazing. Like, the art in that was bonkers, and it's not your typical shonen story that's popular right now. And but that it set a high bar, right? So the fact that you're gonna, not only are you gonna share the same platform with this particular anime, you're doing a similar thing, you know, taking a story that was, you know, interesting and making it its own thing. You're also talking about the manga, like focusing on that. And so you have a lot of people who are really looking forward to, you know, well, depending on the camp you're in, looking forward to it doing well or crashing and burning. So they can talk about it on Twitter. So it's interesting to me. What did you think when you saw when I texted to you, the first thing you said was what and why? Like, exactly. Like,
I'm looking at my phone, and I'm gonna go to my text. I'm gonna go to the text. Okay. This is what you said.
Yes.
You said the trailer for the new Ghost in the Shell. You sent it to me, and I said, right, "What is happening? Why are there more of these?"
Yes. So you had a similar sentiment that I had, like why? Like, why are we doing this?
No shade at Ghost in the Shell, but so that I don't sound like I'm switching sides. If anybody remembers way back, we talked about Ghost in the Shell a long time ago. I don't like Ghost in the Shell. I'm not a fan. And and I don't want to say, I'm not trying to say it's a bad whatever.
Right.
I'm just saying that when I watched the movie Ghost in the Shell, we did talk about this a long, long time ago. I was left disappointed. I felt like there wasn't enough. I thought it was so good. If you turned off the volume and you didn't know what you were watching, you're just like, this is some cool shit. What is this? Oh, is she beating that dude up in the water as a, like, invisible? That's cool. But I followed the whole movie, and this is at a time where I was just, you know, I drink it all up, and I didn't like this one. I was just like, this, I feel like there's a story here and we're not getting it. And that's how I've always felt about Ghost in the Shell. I own Standalone Complex. It's on one of my external hard drives, you know, torrent like, but I don't remember ever watching it. I think the concept is cool, and but I've actually never enjoyed it, unfortunately. And I think there are sometimes people who are like, oh, you got to watch this one. This one is good. You got to watch this one. And then I got overwhelmed. I don't know which one you want me to watch and which one is supposed to be good. And if I have, why I have to fish for the good one. When I saw that, I was like, eh, what? Again, and that's not me saying, oh, Ghost in the Shell is awful. I would never watch that. That's not true. It's just that the ones that I did watch, I didn't love. And so that's my sentiment is that, like, looking, I was like, oh, what? My text is like, what? Why are there more of these?
Yeah.
Because I just feel like there's always a new one every several years. There's always a new one. I don't mean like every 2 years, but like, I don't know, every 7. It's like,
yeah, there's either OVA or, yeah, there's always something new with it, whether it's the live action we were talking about or, you know, this particular anime.
And nobody watched the live action. Didn't we actively boycott that?
Yes, for various reasons. Yes.
Because I definitely didn't watch that, and I don't even know when it went to not theater. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't even know if that movie still exists. You know how some movies just disappear and they just disappear from existence.
Right.
And I feel like that's what happened to that one, because what are we even talking about? My brain hurts now. It doesn't exist. That's how. Oh, I don't want to sit here and be like, oh my God, this is trash. It is just so interesting how that particular manga/anime just continues to spawn babies.
I think it's, well partially, and this is what I was trying to make light, note of, was how they told their stories. It's always a portion. It's never the full thing. I don't think they've ever released anime of the entire manga.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong. Super fans out there, let me know. But it's always been a time period. It's always been like, the first one was from like this year to this year. Standalone Complex was like 6 years after that or something like that. And then the anime was after that. And so you're kind of stepping into a story each time they tell it.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on, you know, if like I didn't, I have to rewatch it, but I remember not liking the first film.
Mm-hmm.
I think I liked Standalone a little bit better. And then I liked the anime. I think the anime, like the actual series, I think because they took their time to like tell a longer story.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember and granted, stepping into a story, not knowing everything, is actually a really good way of storytelling if you can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they did it in a way that's kind of like, it was almost like Star Wars. Like episode
four? That's the beginning,
right? And like, but like without the information prior to that, because I didn't know about the manga when I saw the first film.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just like, oh, I understand some of the stuff, but why is this person the way that they are, and why are they doing A, B, and C? Like, I watched Vampire Hunter D a month ago, I want to say, because I wanted to remember. Someone was talking about it. Shout out to Ash. This was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying how, and Ash is a dope journalist, but I'm just, it's random shout out. Anyways, she was saying how like Vampire Hunter D, the first one wasn't good, but the second one was. And I was like, I remember liking both of them. And I went back and watched it. And I was like, I understand why. There's some really cool things that they do artistically with the anime, that film. But if you aren't aware of what's happening, it's a rough way of telling a story where you're just kind of like assuming the audience understands all of the different elements that you're adding. It's like jumping to a story and they just tell you these are the blah, 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 but don't give you any, like, who are the blah, blah, blah? I don't know them.
Yeah.
We don't go way back. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's their culture like? You introduce it in a way, but then you don't you don't kind of expound. You just kind of move on to the next point.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ghost in the Shell did that a lot in certain factors where they just kind of, their audience knew what was happening prior. And mm-hmm. so you just kind of go with it. And for people who didn't know, like me, I'm not going to say I was confused, but I wasn't as entertained as yes. the later portions of the series, because at that point I had gathered more information to understand the world as a whole. So yeah. now when this character has a conflict with this other person, I get it. Like, I'm like, oh, we're here now. I see mm-hmm. you. Prior to that, I'm like, what? Why yeah. is
why
this
is
doesn't make sense? Why does she have clothes on? Like, what is
yeah. yeah.
yeah. What are I'm we like... doing here?
yeah, agreed. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Doing.
You know, and just remembering the I don't know, and the weird provocative nature of the cover of some of the mangas where like she has all the cords plugged into her back, but she's naked uh-huh. and like she has a gun, and I'm just like, there's so much happening here.
Yeah.
I don't understand any of it.
You know? If we were doing the talks where I have that wall scroll. I have that exact wall scroll. I do. I have it. That we'll get back to my wall scroll series.
Yeah, yeah. Man, it's just, it's a, because like you think of the first thing that comes to my mind, and you know, this is going backwards, but like, is the Matrix. And you know, Neo, when he plugged in, he didn't have a gun in his hand, he wasn't sitting in the chair with the gun.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It was like, and he wasn't naked, so it's just weird. And granted, if you read the manga, you understand everything. I ain't do that. So
yeah,
you know, I guess I'm uncultured, if you will. But I just didn't, because I didn't for a long time. I wasn't privy to that side of things. It was yeah. just
agreed.
I would watch like early television where they would show anime. If it wasn't like something like Speed Racer that came on like late at night, it was Sci-Fi Channel, because they had the Armitage the Third and like mm-hmm. Vampire Hunter D, Ninja Scroll. So like I would get the anime kind of like that. If it was, mm-hmm. and that's beyond the Sailor Moons of the world, right? And so
what? There's something beyond the Sailor Moons?
In the sense of like Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball, like it started to go, it went popular, right. like where everybody yeah. knows it, where yeah. I was more into the, like you could only find this on VHS at FYE.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it cost $1 million for one episode.
Oh, FYE.
You know what I mean? Like that's where my anime kind of starts.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when I was living in Germany, watching Transor Z before I knew what like Voltron was.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm into a lot of the niche stuff for America, but really big in Japan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finally got into it, people were like, oh, did you read the manga? I'm like, what's manga? Like, well, what are you talking about? This is anime. Like, why would you, mm-hmm, what do you mean, mm-hmm. manga? You know what I mean? And I had to be hip to that. Like, oh, it's a book.
Right. It's a book.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense. Cool. Let me check this out. And so a lot of the stuff that I watched, you know, I would read after the fact. But Ghost in the Shell was never one of them. A tangent yeah. aside, I think it's interesting. And I'm going to check it out. Hopefully it has it's more approachable than the previous ones. And I know mm-hmm. that they're held in high regard for various reasons.
Yeah.
To me, I feel like, and I say this all the time, it's my de facto example, 2001 Space Odyssey. I hate that film, but I understand why people love it. Like there's a lot of artistic things that are borrowed and shared, and it's shaped cinema in certain ways. And there's also that portion with the you know, rogue AI saying how and whatnot. I get it, but I hate it. So
got
you
it.
Know. The next thing we want to talk about is which I thought was hilarious. And I don't think you can it's hard to make this stuff up without people like rolling their eyes. Like this sounds like a pilot for a TV show that's kind of like The Office, which could work, but I wouldn't have thought of it. Like, I just wouldn't have. Apparently, the Writers Guild, the West, you know, because they have the different, you know, North, South, East, West type stuff. The Writers Guild West, their staff have unionized or trying to unionize, and they're actually getting ready to go on strike right before the guild itself sits back down with the Hollywood, you know, companies, you know, the you know, Hulus, the Netflixes, the Disneys and whatever, to negotiate for the behalf of actors and writers and what, blah, 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 blah. Actually, just writers. Right. And I think it's hilarious that you are advocating for something that you aren't giving the people who are working for you. That's a weird thing.
How does that happen?
So I want to go to real quick, go to the Hollywood Reporter. Shout out to Katie Kilkenny over there. And she writes about 82% of unionized staffers voted to empower leaders to call a work stoppage just months before the labor group is set to face the likes of Netflix and Paramount. In the report, she talks about how the Writers Guild of America, WES, so the West Coast version, I'm assuming, could soon have another strike on their hands, but not one involving Hollywood studios, which is wild. When I read that, I was like, what you mean? What you talking about, Willis? Like, what you mean? They were saying that the labor group's own staff, the union within the union, hilarious, the union within the union, on Thursday authorized a strike as they claim that negotiations over their first contract have stalled as management has engaged in bad faith bargaining. 82% of the 100 staffers that participated voted to authorize a strike, and the union announced it on Instagram on Thursday. And so what are they getting ready to strike about? Or, you know, what's the issues, right? And so, and this is, well, let me read this part. The union refuted the allegations because, of course, they're going to. They were saying that public claims suggesting otherwise. Oh, sorry, I skipped a part. They say they had offered comprehensive proposals with numerous union protections and improvements to compensation and benefits. And they said public claims suggesting otherwise are inaccurate, and allegations of unfair labor practices are without merit. That's you're going to hear that everywhere. But it is telling that this is coming from a union. So just keep that in mind. They are, their job is to represent the interests of the writers when they go into to bargaining new contracts, right? So they know what this looks like. They know what this sounds like. And we still got to this point, right? And so how they go about defending themselves, I feel like you shouldn't use the same, even if it is true, I don't feel like you should use the same playbook as the people that you're going to, because what happens is if Netflix, let's say, we'll just say Netflix because it's one of the big dogs, right? If Netflix says that we're fair and that everything that you're saying publicly is inaccurate, you're going to push back on it in the way that your union, right? Your union, your staff is going to push back.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. I don't know. Anyways. So they were saying that they were, they've been in negotiations since September of 2025, and they're fighting for basic protections, like the grieving processes. So I guess if someone dies, how long they can take off and stuff like that. They're looking into AI protections, and they're also looking for raises for union members, according to the flyer that they sent out to the Hollywood Reporter.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, at this point in the negotiation, we should be in alignment on these issues. Yet for nearly 5 months, the WGAW management has dismissed our staff needs and engaged in bad faith surface bargaining with no intent to reach a fair contract. Wild stuff.
That's
wild
just stuff. Crazy.
It's, yeah, like, how did we get to this point? And what do they have to worry about when it comes to AI? Like, What is the AI?
The AI is in the room with us. No, the AI is stealing the writer's work. Like, is that what they're?
Because it's not for the writers. So everybody is clear. This is not about the writers. The writers have nothing to do with this.
This is the
union
staff.
People who push the union's goals forward and do whatever they do, office work, clerical work, whatever. They're saying that they're worried about AI. So is it that you're worried about, what is the union saying? Like, are they saying that the AI, because I'm thinking about it from the union's standpoint, that the AI will like write the contracts, that AI will manage the bargaining aspects, like in terms of negotiations, the AI will make public statements, the AI will, like, what will the AI do in a, that's better than what these humans are doing
when they're
negotiating for other humans.
I wonder if it's automated negotiation, like so that there would not need to be any negotiating.
That would be terrible so many levels.
I don't know. I don't know.
The fact that you can Google something like a president or something, mm-hmm. and Google's AI will give you the wrong dates.
Right.
Like they'll tell you someone died when they aren't dead. Like there's so many, so many missteps, so many issues mm-hmm. that I don't see the AI being a smart choice when it comes to negotiating, especially when you have to negotiate against AI. Like the writers don't want AI taking their jobs.
No.
So why would you have AI negotiating on your behalf? I think that the writers would not want that.
Seriously.
Like, I feel like they would want to not be in the union anymore. Like I'm basically what I'm trying to say, if people are confused, is that if these claims are true, I feel like the union has bonked their head a little bit. Like I don't know if they're thinking like the union doesn't make enough money to give anybody raises. And because of that, if we lean into AI, maybe we could do so. Maybe we can cut some of the people out of this, like lay some people off. We can pay people who are still here a little bit more to kind of keep up with the AI and make sure it's not like screwing over the writers or whatever the case may be. Like maybe this is all of a money thing, right? Because I don't know how the union gets their money. I would assume it's from dues. Like the writer union, you join the union as a writer in Hollywood and you pay dues for them to defend you and to uphold contracts and stuff like that for you. But man, like this, I'm confused on that. And then like, just if you're in union and you understand all that information when it comes to the writers, why would you subject your staff to that, knowing that they go to bat in this very manner? Like how do I say this? It's like if you understand that in order to win this war, we fight this way, and then you go to war with someone within your company and then be surprised that they fight the same way that you taught them to fight. Like they are being open about their union negotiations on Twitter and IG and all this other stuff, and you're like, you know, this is preposterous. Like, how could you, you know, that's not true. And it's like you're pushing back in the same way like the Hollywood execs would, but it doesn't look good for you. Like this is such a weird thing for me. I don't know if I'm conveying that properly, but mm-hmm. it's very weird. I don't know. I don't know either.
I'm with you. I respond when you told me about this. I said, what the what? What?
Yeah.
Because I can't. I don't even know where to try to comprehend what's happening, because I can't.
Yeah, like it's, and you would think like maybe you know, maybe we could get away with it because we know the tactics on how to like, you know, fight against this sort of thing when it happens to us. But you train these people to do this. Like their job is to do the thing that they're doing against you, against Hollywood, and it just doesn't behoove you to do this. Like it behooves you to pay them well.
Yeah.
So then more writers and maybe it's like a competition thing. Like the writers don't have anywhere else to go. They have to come to this particular guild, in order to be into these negotiations. So we can kind of run it any type of way, but I don't think that's the case because the staff wouldn't go for that either. This is just a strange thing to happen. And if it is true, I hope that the staff, like I said, with the writers, I hope they get everything mm-hmm. that they ask for, because it's only fair. They do all the work. You know, they put themselves out there. If something goes wrong, they're the first people who are on the chopping block. And apparently, like from what they're talking about, it's usually the ask is usually nothing. It's not like, well, I can't speak on the raises because mm-hmm. I don't know how much they get paid initially. Mm-hmm. But it's usually not like we want limos. And we want only blue M&Ms. It's like
we want $18 bagels for breakfast. Like nobody's asking for that.
It's usually basic, like, hey, we're in the grieving process. Don't fire me. Or hey, can I get some insurance? Like any insurance. Like you know, I need dental, fam. Have you seen my teeth?
What
does they say? Like, we don't want AI to take over, so we need protections against that. And that, mm-hmm. I understand that from a, and AI is terrible. I understand that from a company in terms of looking to make money. If we look at it just from that view, I get why there would be a need for that. I don't know how it works within the guild, and somebody from the guild will have to kind of speak on that. But mm-hmm. I understand from a company standpoint to, like, you pay people less, you make more money. Makes sense. It's capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
But it just doesn't make sense to do it to the people who specifically fight against these things, because what's going to happen when they go up, I think in, when does this happen? Their negotiations start, in March, I want to say. Yeah, mm-hmm. they're expected to start talks on March 16th. And a few months prior, March 16th, sorry. They're supposed to be talking with the Hollywood studios and streamers. And yeah, they're getting ready to argue these same points. They're getting ready mm-hmm. to talk about, you know, AI protections and stuff like that. So why would you think it's okay for you to do the thing? I don't know. Moving right along, because I don't know. the last thing we want to talk about, and I think this is interesting from a bigger, you know, grander standpoint, mm-hmm. is the film Iron Lung. It is based on a video game, and it was completely produced by a YouTuber, Markiplier. I think I'm saying his name right. Sorry if I'm not fans. I know he has a lot of fans. What I found interesting was that it wasn't pushed by a major studio. He funded it completely. And this past weekend, it made an estimate of 8.9 million on Friday. And it's on track to make around 10 to 17 million. And he made the film, I want to say I'm trying to see how much did he make. I'm looking at Forbes. Shout out to Paul over there, senior contributor. He talks about the box office, and usually I'm not a box office person. The only other time I talked about the box office was when, you know, Variety had that, you know, that whole thing with Sinners. But I just think it's interesting because, you know, he's potentially going to make a lot of money on this film, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is driven by fans, by the YouTuber.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool thing because it shows what you can do, even if the film doesn't do well or doesn't, it's not reviewing well. I'll say that. It's like 50% critic score right now. And it has a 90% Rotten Tomato score from the fans, or like the people seeing it. Uh-huh. Even if it doesn't do well critically, it doesn't win any awards, blah, blah, blah. It's still a win because he has shown how I could take something like my following from YouTube, and I can push it into other areas, into financing other areas, and it could be successful without the backing of anyone else and be independent. And that's huge because typically mm-hmm. what we've seen is YouTubers will make a film, or, you know, where it's Shelby Oaks or it's the Talk to Me, you know, they'll make a film and then it's backed by a company. So in the case of, you know, Talk to Me, it was what, A24 or whatever. Like they'll, you know, either the company will help with distribution, or it'll help with reshoots and stuff like that. And same thing with granted he wasn't on YouTube, David F. Sandberg with Lights Out. He made the short. James Wan saw it. You know, the rest is history. And so it's but in this case, being able to do it yourself is, you know, very much privileged, but then also to be successful with it, that's mm-hmm. what indie film is all about. That's what, mm-hmm. especially horror. That's really cool. And that also goes to show, like, oh, you can do things outside of your bubble of gamedom. You could do things outside of that and be successful with it. I think it shows it's a positive message for people who are trying to get into other avenues, that mm-hmm. you don't have to go through a major company that's going to take majority of the profits, or, you know, you don't own the license to it. You don't own, you know, your work. the way you would want, you know, the your branding and all that other stuff. Like, there's a lot that kind of goes into it that it's all him. And granted, the game isn't his, you know, that was developed by someone else. But the fact that he could do that and beat out, you know, some major films like Sin Help from Sam Raimi, or Sam Raimi, is really, really cool. Like, that's really freaking cool. And so I guess the broad nature of that is, how does one do that in today's market? Like, he is, you know, he makes so much money on YouTube that, you know, it's more understandable. But there are some millionaires on YouTube that maybe don't make as much as he does, but are looking to get into other things. Like, we saw recently with Kai Cenat, who was looking into getting into fashion. And, you know, he's already been, you know, there's some controversy with him saying he's trying to learn new words. So he's been reading on camera and, you know, looking at words in between, you know, and whatnot, which I think is perfectly fine. It's what you do when you don't know a word. But then people make fun of him in a sense of like, you know, this brand, you know, shift is a ploy, or, you know, he's just not serious or sincere, and just a whole lot of just goofiness around it. And my thought is like, I don't care, because if he succeeds, this is showing people that you don't have to be afraid to try something new, and that there's lanes for you, with the caveat that you have to have the capital or at least the following, right? To be able to do what you want to do. Those are positive aspects. And I'm just curious on why aren't people doing that more often? And why aren't people, not everybody's going to be Mr. Beast, obviously, but why aren't people trying more often, you know? And maybe they're afraid that their audience is going to go away.
Definitely. That could be part of it. Money. True. Just, I'm sorry. I was just thinking a very mean thought.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, they told J-Lo not to do that movie, and then she did it. What was it called? It doesn't matter. Self-funded.
Was it Geely?
Not Geely. No, it's, I think they said don't do that either. But no, the one that she did recently, the one that Danceicle.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like self-funded project. Like,
yeah.
So there's that, you know, it could fail miserably and you get no return on investment. Right. The embarrassment of failing miserably and not getting return on investment, and people being like, oh, are you like $50 million poor now? Type thing. There's that.
True. True.
There's just the, oh, I'd like to do this thing, but I just don't know how. I'd like to do this other thing, but, or the exact comment, like you said, where people are like, it's not genuine, because it's like, you know, sometimes you'll see a celebrity all of a sudden doing a NyQuil commercial, and you're like, aren't you an actor? Like, you're an actor of the movie, of the film. Why are you in a NyQuil commercial? That's weird, type thing. Or, you know, somebody who, you know, is an actor or something like that. And then next thing you know, you see them selling real estate. You're like, huh? Like, no, people don't. Yeah, like,
what do you know about real estate, dog?
Right. People don't trust you. They don't think you're serious when you decide to do other things. And the sad thing is, you could just be ADHD like me. Like, so it's a, but I think that especially with the economy not being stable, and if you are, I'm not going to say no YouTuber just got their stuff overnight. Like, people worked hard for years. Like, look, Jackie Aina was doing videos for like 10 years before she actually got famous, like for real. So, yeah. But there are people who are not willing to risk, what they got, because, you know, you're too bad videos from not getting any more income, type thing. That's how some people might feel, even though, I mean, you might get revenue royalties or something. But I think here's an example. A lot of the Sims creators have decided to pivot because they don't mess with EA anymore. Like, they decided that they're not going to mess with EA anymore because it got bought by the Saudis and the Kushners.
And okay.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So some people, are they scrambling to find something else to do? But some people are like, okay, well, I'm going to play other games because I was always a gamer and I played other games. So I'm just going to focus on these other games. But when you make mad money off the Sims content, you know, when
it's hard to pivot,
it's really hard. It's like a rubber band. You're going to keep going back to what makes you money. Cause if all of a sudden you decide to stop making these videos and you're like, well, let me go do something else, and you don't have the following, like the people who are following you are not following you to watch that other thing.
That's true. I guess for me, then I would say, because I it'd be different if, I guess I see that a little bit more in Kai's scenario, mm-hmm. because he wants to go into fashion. And so mm-hmm. because his attention is being pulled away, will he stop making certain videos? And I think mm-hmm. that could affect his money, definitely. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was thinking more so like for instance, Markiplier doesn't have to, like, if he's making movies, when he comes back to streaming, he could just continue mm-hmm. to do that. Whereas yeah. the Sims creator, if they're thinking of pivoting, that is scary, because like people are coming here for this, they paid for mm-hmm. this to, you know, subscribe and all that. And, but you're still doing it within that realm. Mm-hmm. And so if you pivot with the streaming, then you might lose a lot of people. Yeah. Right. But if you're doing the Sims and you're like, you know what, I want to get into selling merchandise that has nothing to do with the Sims, but mm-hmm. I'm still doing the Sims, then I feel like you have less worry there, because you're still giving those particular people what they want mm-hmm. while potentially reaching a new market. That mm-hmm. being said, that all of it is time consuming and takes work. Mm-hmm. So that could be a factor as well. But that would be my only like pushback there, is like, you can still do the thing unless you've grown tired of it or mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. You can still do the thing that made you popular. You're just also branching out, because with YouTube and how Twitch does, and if they change a rule here or there, or you get flagged for something dumb, then you could potentially lose it all on this platform anyways and have to start over. And so it's always good to diversify your portfolio mm-hmm. and try to have multiple eggs and multiple baskets. And the fact that you now finally have the money to do so, where the risk is, it's a little lower in a sense. Like, you know, if you're up millions, then spending, you know, 500,000 on prototype clothing to see if this is something you would want to do is reasonable, versus someone who's like, I'm going to go all in mm-hmm. and that's all you have in the bank is, you know, very little, you know? But it's interesting though. It's definitely interesting, because I don't see it as for all the Mr. Beasts out there and for all of the, you know, people that are, you know, going a step outside of their comfort zone. We have a lot of people who are just like, I'm just going to stay here. I'm just going to keep doing uh-huh. this. This is making me a lot of money. And, you know, at the most I'll have, and I can't say that to be true, but let's say, you know, like RDC, they have DreamCon coming mm-hmm. up, you know, they are able to get a lot of, you know, creators and stuff that comes to this place and potentially spend money. They have an event every year. Right. But in terms of outside of those things, I don't see them moving too much. And that could be because they're establishing footholds in other places and they haven't showed it off yet. But I'm like, if anything, this should be a wake up call for a lot that, hey, I didn't, you know, the way I thought you had to do it, you don't. And that is also should be recognizable, because the fact that they are millionaires in YouTube mm-hmm. or in mm-hmm. Twitch is already circumventing a lot of stuff, because, mm-hmm. you know, we look at, you know, certain actors will be like, you can't be an actor because you have a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be allowed to get into these opportunities. I actually saw that on Twitter and I was like, I disagree. I'm like, talent is talent. And yeah, the fact that people want to see you, I don't think you should just get the role off that, but I think that if you get the opportunity to, you know, show your skills and you're talented, I don't care where would you rather them, you know, I left my, you know, my headshot and my resume, you know, on the table when I was, you know, being a waiter or whatever, and like a Hollywood director stopped in and I just left it there, and they were like, huh, this person looks interesting. Or they send in a bunch of audition tapes, or they saw them on Twitch. Like, all of it is like happenstance and lucky and whatever. Like, I get the idea of, you know, I went to school for this. If anything, I feel like if they get the opportunity and you went to school for it, you should beat them. Because you went to school for it. So what you worried about? Now, if they're going to be like, we're just going to bring this person in because they're, you know, a big rapper or, you know, some type of celebrity or, you know, in other aspects, then yeah, that might be an issue. But if they're just like, hey, you got a following and you seem talented, let me try reading this for me, then you should nail it because you are good. You know what I mean? So yeah, I don't, all that to say, I feel like more people should be branching out. I feel like you guys are talented and I'm rooting for everybody. Not everybody. Yeah. That's a lie. That's a lie. Not doing it. I'm rooting for a lot of you. Some of y'all don't need to do anything else. Just don't. We don't. Nope. That would be a lie.
Yeah, like certain first ladies making movies.
And them lying about it. Like, talking about, like, this is the biggest, like, documentary since, you know, in the last, you know, 10 plus years. I'm like, and then someone had it on Twitter, like, all the documentaries that made way more in the first few days than they did. Yeah, no.
I'm sorry. Those people were paid to go there anyway to watch. So, like, what are you talking about?
It's the same thing with the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes from the audience. It's like, these is some, a lot of the people who reviewed it, this is their first ever reviews.
Yeah.
They sign, it's like all these accounts were made like yesterday. Right. And all are saying glowing things about it. Like, no. Yeah.
I think we should check them the votes now, because look, all these randos, these brand new accounts.
Right. Like, just all of a sudden, like, you just had all to talk about sudden. This. No other film. You didn't stop by anybody else on your way here. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, I'm going straight there to talk about this film because it was so impactful.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
It's like the
absolutely
first time
not.
You ever reviewed anything on Rotten Tomatoes was this documentary.
Right. Like, not, of all the. Yeah.
Not Independence Day. Not Star Wars.
Just anything. Just anything popular.
Anything.
You know what
not
I mean?
Not The, like, Hangover.
We don't believe it. I see what you did there. But yeah, like, there's not. It's just interesting. And then they're lying about it, you know, and granted, it works, though, because people are partially gullible and willfully ignorant. Like, it's just, if I put my hands on my ears and I close my eyes and I go, blah, la 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 la, you can't tell me the truth. They're perfectly fine with walking around that way. I don't understand it. I like the truth, because then that gives me options. Yep. It does. Because you can pivot. If I have the truth, I can make changes and fix my situation. If I don't, it is what it is. So, I would rather you guys go see Iron Lung than go see that off the strength of what it is. I'm sorry. It's just
exactly.
There's a meme. There's a meme actually on Twitter I saw where Goku and Vegeta were going to fight, and they're like, "Hey, let's go someplace where nobody is." And then they went to a theater showing that movie. Oh, it was great. Oh man. Like, I did a spit take as soon as I saw it. And I was like, oh, that's great. That's hilarious.
Oh my goodness. That is so good. So classically good. Oh. I love
man.
It.
But anywho, that is our show for this week. Short show this week. We have a bunch of stuff going on right now. And, you know, life be lifing. But life. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. And shout out to Jay. Jay has been, like, hounding me low-key about, you know, the next episode dropping. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Keep us on our toes when it comes to this content stuff. So I definitely appreciate it. All the people who are, you know, liking and subscribing and sharing and commenting, I appreciate it. And I see all of it. So, you know, thank you for that. But yeah, if you are following on YouTube or listening on YouTube, rather, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming out, whether it be reviews, this podcast, shorts, and, you know, the All of Our Sims show that is coming back. It is coming back, folks.
It is coming back.
If you're listening on, mm-hmm. you know, Spotify or iTunes, feel free to subscribe there. Add us to your RSS feeds, you know, and all of that is through Audio Boom. You can check that out in the description below. That way, you know, it's easy for you to set it up, you know, wherever you listen at, you know what I'm saying? On your way to work or, you know, when you're out and about and whatnot, or you're just chilling at home. You know what I mean? I don't mind us playing in the background while you're doing laundry. Do your thing.
Playing in the background.
Right? But anywho, yeah, we appreciate you. And we continue to bring you some dope content. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. And we're happy that you guys are here. We're happy that you stayed. And we're happy that you're not being a dick. Just
Facts.
Remember that. Wash your hands, wash your faces, wash your butts. And come back for some more content. We will be back with As the Sims Turn or another Sims.
All of our Sims.
Or all of our Sims. Or
Day in the Lives of
Sims. Or General Sims.
General Sims is fire.
General Sims is fire. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to see the logo on that one.
Yes.
General Sims. The hospital in the background. All right, y'all. Well, take care. And we will see you guys in the next one. Bye-bye.